Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
It is Niall Boylan, which invites you to midnight tonight. A little bit of good news, but obviously based on very bad news. You might remember, of course, last year in November, Friday the 30th of August, by the way, today, after 281 days, that young child, 5 years of age, who was stabbed in Parnell Street, has been released from hospital. And the parents said, today we begin a new chapter in our darling's rehabilitation, or as we call it, the gym. The hope is that she'll be able to swallow food, move her arms and legs more purposefully, and utter some sounds. So you can see how badly damaged she was by that particular incident and that attack. And that was a life-changing moment for that young child. And those parents who sent their child off to school that morning, not knowing that nearly a year later, they'll still be in this position today. Shocking, absolutely shocking. And by the way, the other big story, of course, today is the scale of the allegations of historical abuse at schools. You heard mentioned in the news there, run by the religious orders in Ireland, is truly shocking, according to the Minister for Education, Normal Foley. The Minister has announced that a commission of investigation is to be established to examine historical sexual abuse claims in day and boarding schools. Almost 2,400 allegations of sexual abuse were recorded by 308 schools run by religious orders across Ireland. It's just inexplicable, isn't it? Completely and utterly inexplicable. When I think about it, and I obviously went to a religious school, the De La Salle College in Raheny, and I remember the Christian Brothers. They were animals. I don't mind saying that. They were absolute, utter animals, the way they behaved. I'm trying to think of a nice one. At the time I was there, there was about seven Christian Brothers, I think, and a few lay teachers. Lay teachers are okay. One of the two of them were head cases as well. But they were absolute and utter animals. I remember one particular guy, had written my name on the desk, as you do when you're a teenager and you do stupid things. But I'd written it with a pen. So he insisted I come in on Saturday with some sandpaper and varnish. So I then went and I stole some sandpaper and varnish out of my dad's shed without them knowing. Because, of course, I didn't want my parents to know I was in trouble. And I made an excuse on a Saturday morning to go down to the school. And he was there on his own in the school with me, knowing my parents didn't know. And you want to hear the things that he was saying. Like, it was weird. When I think back and re-remember it now, it was odd. Now, he didn't go near me, but he could have. And probably wanted to, because he was a weirdo. And I got out fairly quick because he went to go and get a cup of coffee and told me he'd be back. And I bunked out the back door. So I think he assumed I was going to stay there. But the same guy then hung me from a second story window during the snow because I'd pushed out some snow off a ledge. The same guy was constantly beating people all the time. But they were absolutely, all of them were the same. They were all animals. They behaved like animals. What made these teachers, these school teachers, most of whom, by the way, were clerical. Some of them were lay teachers too, by the way. Most were clerical. What made them think that they could abuse children, be it sexually or physically, and just get away with it? I suppose the answer is in the question. They were getting away with it. That was the reason they did it, because they could. They felt they were above everybody else. They were absolute and utter despicable animals. Half the ones that the allegations are against in this particular report are actually dead now. But, of course, you can prove what happened because you have cooperating stories. That's how they do these reports and these investigations. If you have 10 people who give a story in a particular MO of a Christian brother or priest or whatever it was, or a lay teacher for maybe the case, well, then they can prove, obviously, it happened if they did it in the same manner or they use the same motives or the same way, so they kind of prove it happened. But it's shocking that they think, after all these years, we're not going to do anything about it. All of those people who are abused, sexually abused, particularly sexually abused, deserve to be given redress. Every single last one of them to be compensated for what happened to them. Because nobody should send their child to school and wonder if they're being sexually abused or physically abused. It's shocking, you think about it. We have a very dirty past, haven't we? A very shameful past in this country. And I understand, you know, history, time changes as we go on through history. But this wasn't that long ago. Like, this is only 30 or 40 years ago. We have a shameful, dirty past. Filthy, dirty past. Between that, Magdalene Laundries, mother and baby homes. There's a pattern in it, isn't there? There's a common denominator too, by the way, which are people from religious orders. And I'm not blaming all of the individuals within the religious orders, but when you look at why all of this happened, it was because they were above the law. Nobody questioned them or doubted them. They had this kind of authority from God that they were able to do whatever they wanted and get away with it. And they did. They got away with it. Most of them did, anyway. Most of them died, went to their coffins with their dirty little secrets. Anyway, we get a chance to talk about it later on. And what I wanted to talk about, too, if I got a chance, was not just the sexual abuse, but the physical abuse. A lot of you listening tonight would have been physically abused in school. That doesn't happen anymore. Of course, if a teacher, you know, bet a child senseless nowadays, they'd end up in jail. But in those days, that was kind of the natural thing to do, wasn't it? Child's not doing what he's told, didn't do his homework, let's kick him stupid in the middle of the classroom in front of everybody and humiliate them. Do you believe that all the people who were physically abused, including me, including many others, should be getting redress or compensation now? Do you believe they all should get compensation? I know it wasn't sexual abuse, it was physical abuse. Do you believe everybody should get compensation who was abused by schools, lay teachers and religious orders? I'm just curious. You can text at 0871880008. That's 0871880008. Now, by the way, on a lighter note, Eamon Ryan said, if warnings about Atlantic Ocean circulation are correct, Irish people could become climate migrants. So there was a headline of the paper today, basically Eamon Ryan saying that, you know, Ireland could suffer from climate change different to other countries. We could be a lot colder while other countries are basking in the sun. They didn't say that last year. Last year they said it was going to be the hottest summer ever and we're all going to die. I mean, but this summer, because it wasn't so good, they kind of just changed the story a little bit. The weather's not good. We better change the story a little bit. Look, and by the way, before you all say, Boylan's a climate denier. I'm not a climate denier. Of course, the climate is changing. Actually, it's radically changing all across the world. But can we do anything about it? I probably think not. Eamon Ryan believes so. Spending $335,000 on a bike shed certainly goes some of the way towards changing the climate, doesn't it there? We all go around cycling on those bikes that cost so much money to keep covered in the rain. Anyway, the Irish language is something that's part of our heritage. It's part of our culture. It's part of who we are. It's our identity, isn't it? And I don't know how you are, Osquelga, with the Cúpla Focal. Are you still shamed around your lack of understanding of the language that you studied, presumably, for 18 years of your life? I am. Though, you know, you're a foreign national, according to Micheál Martin, by the way, foreign nationals, you know, they shouldn't really be forced to learn the language, because we've seen an increase in those who are wavered from learning the language. 23% of the population, by the way, of children, don't have to. Many of those, by the way, are through special needs. But many of those are not. They're people who came to Ireland who weren't originally born in Ireland. Micheál Martin said, you know, that would be kind of awkward to force them to learn Irish. But why? Everybody else is forced to learn it. I mean, who should have to and who shouldn't have to learn Irish? Who decides that? Should a student be able to elect not to study their kind of mother tongue? I mean, that should be their choice, right? No. It's the state's, I believe. In other words, it's compulsory. And the Irish language has always been compulsory, as far as I remember. Numbers of students elect to take up the subject at exam level, the subject at exam level, the Leaving Cert level, has dwindled. And its use outside the classroom seems at this stage well and truly redundant, certainly when you're in a city. Maybe in rural Ireland it's a little bit different, or in the Gaelscoils. But who cares? I know you care. Some people care, but some people clearly don't. And what about those students who struggle with it through their schooling? Should we do away with it and free up young people's anxieties about learning a subject that they will likely never use? They're going to go into computer science. They don't probably need the Irish language. No matter what job they do, realistically, you don't need the Irish language unless you're going into interpretation or you're going to be a school teacher teaching Irish. Statistics are that 70,000 people in Ireland speak the language fluently, allegedly. 12,000 people say they speak the language and only speak the language. They don't speak English. That's 12,000 people. We spend roughly $1.2 billion a year on the language. That's in all different, you know, ways of spending that are, you know, on radio stations, television stations, you know, Radio Gaeltacht, TG Cathair, all the different road signs, translations for the courts, all that kind of stuff. All costs roughly around $1.2 billion a year. Is that a waste of money? Let me know what you think. Do you believe the Irish language should be compulsory? It is compulsory currently at the moment, but do you believe it should be? Or should it be optional? Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. Andrew, hi, how are you?
How are you, Niall?
Good. Andrew, do you speak Irish?
No, I speak a tiny bit of Irish, right? Small bit, but I use Irish every day. I know the basics of Irish, the vocabulary, and I use it every single day. You know, I love Ireland and I love the language, so, you know, I'm one of them people that try to use as much as I was. I was exempt from Irish in school. I think I was exempt in second year. But, yeah, I had ADHD and I always struggled with learning it. But, you know, I wanted it, but I just... The ADHD mindset couldn't focus on it, and, they exempt me from it.
Okay, yeah, and you know, some people do get an exemption, and I know that can be difficult if you're ADHD or dyslexia or whatever. It's difficult to comprehend languages. It's enough to kind of focus on the English language or, you know, German and French and everything else without confusing it with Irish as well. So I understand why people get exempt from it. But when you say you use it every day, I mean, how are you using it every day? Who are you meeting that speaks Irish? I don't meet people speaking Irish.
No. Listen, it's the small increments. I never say goodbye. I always say slán amháil. If I hang up a phone, I always say slán. I won't say goodbye, I'll say slán. You know, just the small things. I just try to keep it there. You know what I mean? If anyone hasn't seen this new movie, Kneecap, it's like most of the movies in Irish, and it's unbelievable. It's a brilliant movie. If you don't understand Irish, there's subtitles on the screen, but it's another great movie. And the whole thing is they want to bring Irish back in to Ireland, you know, and make it a bigger thing than what it is already.
But will it become a bigger thing? Here's the problem. When you look across the world, the amount of languages that disappear on a daily basis, by the way, languages disappear because people have no idea. It's like animals becoming extinct. People don't realise 6 to 7 animals become extinct every single day. And new ones evolve, by the way, too. So, and new languages also evolve, too, or a new dialect, certainly. But you look at, say, in America, you know, the Native American language, which was Navajo. I mean, that disappeared many years ago, apart from a few people speaking it. Aboriginal, which is spoken by the Aborigines in Australia, practically gone. You know, a lot of languages, there is still some Mary there. I don't know sure the name of the language they speak. Again, you know, it's practically gone. I mean, is that not just natural progression? Because the whole world... English is the most acceptable language in the world. It's not the most spoken, by the way. Mandarin Chinese is, but English is the most acceptable language in the world.
Yeah, so, like, English is English. It's the easiest. Well, we were born on it, you know, we were raised on it. But I think it's the history and the heritage of Irish. That's what we're trying to hold on to, I suppose.
Is that a bit of romanticism?
Sorry?
Is it kind of like a little bit of romanticism, that it's a kind of nice romantic idea to think that, you know, oh, we'll all speak Irish or we all should speak Irish?
No, not that we should speak. It's not that, like, I don't think it's the point that we're all just going to start speaking Irish, but I think it's nice that we know. And, like here's a good example. My friend's two daughters are fully fluent in Irish. We went to Ibiza there last week, and whenever they want to talk to each other about something, they'd be there waffling away in Irish, and like me and James wouldn't have a clue what they were talking about. You know, they'd just be waffling, and we like do full on blown conversations in the middle of nightclubs and all, just talking Irish. And like, you know, that is so cool. You know, it's cool that you can do it, and
By the way, I find it fascinating to listen to people speaking fluent Irish, right? But here's the thing: should it be compulsory? The idea that we force people to do it. Do you believe it should be compulsory?
Right. So. You have your Gael skills, and then you have your, you know, what, I don't know, normal skills.
Yeah.
I think if you want your kids or you want your child to speak Irish or, you know, have that heritage, you send them to a Gael school and, you know, they'll come out fluent in Irish. You know, or and in maybe the public schools, you're given the option. You know, do you want your child to participate in the Irish lesson or not? And maybe that's the way it's classed. But no, I don't think it should be compulsory. At the end of the day, like, realistically, right, let's look at the facts here. What, like, you're doing your leaving thing, you're stressed out, you have to learn this language. That realistically has no benefit to you whatsoever. Like, you said, you don't need Irish to do computer science. Like, what can you actually use Irish for? except for becoming like a translator, maybe a tour guide on an island or,
yeah,
you know,
or a school
like
teacher,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, school teacher or tourism or any of that, but like, yeah, I'd rather...
Okay, but then if we go by that, if we go by that theory then, if we say that Irish is not compulsory, I guarantee you, Andrew, that'll be the end of the Irish language. Because the only reason many people are learning the language, with the exception of the girls' schools, which there aren't that many of them, and the reason there aren't that many girls' schools is because they can't get the teachers for them, because there isn't enough teachers to speak Irish, right? But if you turned around tomorrow and said, right, you have a choice to learn Irish as in from tomorrow, I guarantee you within a generation, the Irish language will be gone.
Maybe you're right now, I just don't think it should be compulsory. From my point of view anyway, being a kid and, you know, stressing about it so much and not having a clue what's going on, because, well, like, I had ADHD, so maybe it's different. I was exempt, I was lucky, but
yeah.
People that aren't exempt, you know, have to learn it and then will never use it again, you know what I mean? They probably won't, but...
Well, stay there a second, Andrew. Maureen, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how are you?
There you go, there's Andrew, young man, but he is a fan of the language, but he doesn't believe it should be compulsory in schools either. He should have a choice because, you know, you don't want to be stressing kids out who can't figure it out too well, or it confuses them coming up to the Leaving Cert.
Yes, but there's a lot of other languages they're learning in school that could confuse them and stress them out.
Hmm.
I mean, the problem is in this country, Niall, that, I mean, our history, our heritage is being eroded. Sure, I listened to you today on that book and I hadn't read it myself.
This
I just
the podcast,
wrote up
tonight, yeah,
and had a look at it. That's shocking.
No, it is.
Absolutely, but they're making Irish out of sticks. And remember I was talking the other day about the Irish dance, how it's taken off of account of river dance. Well, that resurrected Irish dance. And that's what we need to bring back as well. We need to bring back this culture that we had, our own, our step dancing. Make children are in our.
But are you not looking at us?
Learn Irish instruments.
Are you not looking back to kind of rose tinted glasses?
No, I'm not. I'm seeing what's happening. No, I'm not.
I know. I'm not talking about the book, but I'm not talking about the book. You're talking about the SPHE book that we talked about in the podcast today, which is a disgrace and should be withdrawn. But that's a separate issue. But when you talk about the language, like if it wasn't compulsory, I did say to Andrew, most likely the language would just disappear. And I think it would.
It would disappear. Okay. It would disappear.
But here's the thing. You know, you're always the one, Maureen, talking about free will and free choice and all that kind of thing. And now you're telling me we should force children to learn something they might not want to learn.
Well, you see, yeah, but there's free will in Ireland. There's free choice. But there's also the language of the country. Mm-hmm. It was the language that our ancestors spoke before they were denied Irish by Cromwell. So why not bring it back? And I think, too, that there is a better way of teaching it. Because I remember when I was going to school, when we started languages, I did Spanish. And the way we were taught in Spanish class, it was fabulous because we all had Spanish names. But we had conversational Spanish and we all, you know, we all spoke together in Spanish. And it was a great way to learn. We were just not sitting there, you know, learning words off the board.
Yeah, but I mean, look, 23% of students sitting in the Leaving Cert this year didn't do Irish. Now, many of those, we'd be like Andrew, they would have been exempt because they had ADHD or a learning difficulty of some description. But many didn't do it because they weren't born in this country. So they would be exempt as well. They can get an exemption if they weren't born in this country. That number is rising constantly all of the time. They're getting exemptions. So I can see a day coming soon where a Minister for Education is going to announce that it won't be compulsory anymore. Do you think that'll be the death of the language?
I do. I really do. Because, look, they're going to start bringing Ukrainian into school. Do you know what other languages are going to be teaching children in school? Is that going to be compulsory? Will children
realistically, I'll even say this to Andrew as well. There's more people speak fluent Polish and Chinese in Ireland than speak Irish fluently.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, well, that's fine. But I still think that the language should be taught, the language of our ancestors.
I'm not saying it shouldn't be taught, but, you know, should it be compulsory?
It should. In primary school, we all had to learn it.
But there you go, Andrew. Go ahead, Andrew.
Sorry, I think maybe primary schools are right. You know what I mean? Let it be compulsory in primary schools. they're young and you know, they don't really have that deciding factor so young, they don't know what they want to do. But come secondary school, people are starting to get older now, you know, maybe this is the point where I say, right, Irish, I don't know if it's going to get me anywhere, but like my school, they only taught French and German. I wish they taught Spanish. I'd love to learn Spanish. You know, Spanish is the accent, the, like what I've always wanted to speak. So if they gave me this choice of Spanish, I'd be like, deadly. But, you know, Irish, it wasn't for me. You know what I mean? I just couldn't, you know, I wasn't able to learn. But yeah, I think maybe give them the option in secondary school, but don't give them the option in primary school. I agree with what you're saying. You know, you want to keep the heritage there and stuff and our ancestors. And you have to respect that. You know what I mean? This is Ireland. You know, the Irish language should be respected.
It should, yeah.
Well, nobody said it. Well, nobody said it shouldn't be respected. But you know,
but it's not being respected. But the problem.
I'm all for keeping the language and our heritage. I'm just being the referee here tonight. But I hear you, Maureen, on the air, and Andrew, you've probably said the same thing to me at some point as well. You know, we have free will. We should have choices. All this, and then you're coming on now and telling me, actually, no. When it comes to the Irish language, we should force you to do it, whether you like it or not. You better learn it. You know,
because it is.
Yeah, both of you.
Because it actually is our language.
Mm.
So why shouldn't children be learning the national language? English was never our language.
But it is.
It was always Irish.
Well, it is our first language now.
Why can't we keep that?
I mean, Irish might be our national language, but English is the first language of the country now.
That's fine, but we can still have Irish.
You have to remember.
Both of you, who do we blame? Who do we blame for the downfall of the Irish language? You can't really blame the government. You can't blame the government for everything. You blame the people. I mean, look at the Welsh, for example. You know, the Welsh people retain, they're proud of their language. Even though they're in the middle of Great Britain, where everybody speaks English, the Queen's English, as you call it, in Great Britain, there they are, their own little community, everywhere their road signs are done. You know, in Welsh, they speak Welsh in most cities in Wales. You know, they all make an effort to keep the language themselves.
They do, and up in the Highlands, they speak Scots Gaelic, which they sure are Irish. Mm. So if you've got somebody from Connemara and a Highlander, they'd be able to communicate because most of the words are the same, though different.
Okay, well, say there, speaking of Connemara, let me just go to Alva as well. Alva, hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm good.
Now, you're from Connemara, you're from the Gaeltacht.
Yep.
And, you know, the idea, or that this kind of has come up over the last few days, Micheál Martin saying that people who weren't born in Ireland probably shouldn't have to learn it, so to speak. 23% of students didn't do it in the Leaving Cert. That number is rising every single year. This is the highest number we've had so far of exemptions. You know, is it getting to a point where it's just not going to be compulsory anymore? Is that a bad thing?
Do you know what? I think every child in every school should have choice over it. Maybe compulsory in primary, but definitely for secondary, it should be a choice. You know, the way you'd choose to have other languages.
Yeah, I think we're all on that.
Yeah, I think when it comes to secondary school, maybe now we're all getting to that point. But Alva, what I see a problem with that is that a lot of students will choose not to do it.
Well, I do think there is a benefit to having Irish. I know a lot of people would disagree, but where I live, it's spoken every single day, every building you walk into. And actually, I'm a non-Irish speaker and my life is very difficult because I don't speak Irish.
Mm.
You know, so I do feel like if it was something that kids knew, that it would be handy to have it safe, that they might make the choice in secondary school to continue doing it.
But you're exposed to people speaking Irish. I'm not. I live in Dublin City, right? So I could go from one end of the day to the other without hearing a single person speak Irish, apart from in the radio station where they do the crack agus kill and we have an Irish-speaking presenter. So I could go through the whole day without hearing the Irish language, as most people. Yeah, so
I'm the opposite. I might go a whole day and I don't hear any English spoken.
Mm. You're in a real minority because, according to the stats, only 12,000 people in the country only speak Irish and don't speak English.
But you know what? My grandparents, especially my grandfather, he didn't even know English. And if you spoke to him in English, he would ignore you like you were invisible.
Like when you go to France, they ignore you if you don't make an effort to speak French.
Now, he had a bee in his bonnet over the whole the war and all this kind of thing. So he refused to speak English. You know, he thought it was so disrespectful to be in his house, in his presence, speaking English. So I, and when we went to school then and we were under the control of the nuns and everything, even myself, you were slapped if you were heard speaking English. So for me, it's just like a bit of a rebel in me. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to speak English. That's my language. You speak your language. And I can have a conversation in Irish and English. So someone's in front of me talking Irish, I'm responding in English. And that's how I kind of live day to day.
Yeah, I mean,
and that's fine.
What Irish do you know?
I have a problem with that.
What, do you have any Irish at all? Seems you're in Connemara. I don't think you could survive without having some Irish.
I have all the Irish, Niall. I just don't speak it because I feel like I'm not comfortable enough to speak it. So I was only 8 when I moved here from England. So I kind of came in at the deep end and it was just too impossible for me to learn at that age. So I know it. I can read a book in Irish and understand it, but I'm not going to have the way to speak it.
The grammar.
Fully.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, even now, like I'll watch the news on TG Cahir and we'll watch it and then I'll say, what the hell did they just say? Because some of the news readers, like the Donegal Irish or the Dublin Irish, it's just, we don't understand what they're even saying.
I know.
Even for us here, we're like, what are they saying?
Yeah, I heard them on the Newark one night and they referred to a car as a car and a window as a window, right? Because they're using these English words in Irish now, right? In my day, a car was a gluishtean and a window was a fuinneog, you know?
No, a car is a car in Irish.
No, it's a gluishtean.
I've never heard that word.
Maureen, help me here.
Yeah.
What's a car in Irish?
It used to be gluishtean.
A gluishtean.
I would just stop.
It's you, yeah.
Alva, you're the one from the Connemara, not me. You should know this.
No, it's core.
It's not.
It's just core. It's C-A-R-R. It is, I'm telling you.
I'm telling you now.
Well, they must have changed it because in my day, it was gluishtean.
Gluishtean.
And I came from Scotland too. I was 6 when I came here with my parents. And I had to learn Irish, but I've noticed even that the words are changing in Irish because I'm listening to my grandchildren.
Yeah, so I heard the news reader say he was talking about a window in a car and he said the window in the car and I went, in my day, that would have been, you know, the fuinneog and the gluishtean.
That's right, in my day as well.
What's window, Alva?
Fuinneog.
Okay, at least I'm right about that bit anyway. Yeah.
My point is, you're just saying what my point is. We're watching the Newark and they're saying words. It's not Connemara Irish at all. We call that University Irish.
Oh, right, okay. Do me a favour, Alva. Stay there for a second. Sean, hi, how are you? Hello, Sean.
It's Mick.
Yeah, it's you, Sean.
Oh, I'm Mick.
Oh, okay. I don't know. You're meant to be Sean. Sorry about that. Sorry. Alva, do you believe that... Maybe I got his name wrong, Oscar Egger, I don't know. Alva, do you believe that it should be compulsory in schools?
I think up to the primary it should be compulsory and then it's by choice then for secondary, yeah.
Okay. And do you think the language will die if we do that? Because, as I said to you, most students are probably going to say, I couldn't be arsed. You know?
You see, it depends on where you're living. Like where I live now, very few people speak English. So the kids that are going to school are all speaking Irish. You know, so it depends on where you're living.
Yeah. Okay, hang on. Yeah. I think we got a caller back there. It is actually Mick after all. Sorry, Mick. I thought it was somebody else I was meant to go to. Mick, I do apologise.
You're taking a cranky Sean. That's who you were taking up.
I probably was cranky Sean. Okay.
Yeah, because every time I'm on the air, he's on it.
Mick, you heard Alva, you know, God bless her. She's living in Connemara and she doesn't speak Irish. She's in a whole lot of trouble. Anyway, do you believe that Irish should be compulsory, the language?
No, I don't think so. Not in this day and age. It should be the individual's choice. Especially in secondary school, pupils have a fair idea what they want to go for coming up to leaving for like teaching, whatever they need, whatever they think they want. That's the only time they should go and do the Irish language if it's needed for the particular job that they want.
Yeah.
But to try and force the English or the Irish language onto people, I don't think it's right. Look, I understand what all the other callers are saying. It is our heritage. It is our native tongue. But this day and age...
But it's not like, really our native tongue anymore, is it?
It's not. Like, it's the way we move with the times. You know, like, you could go to any other country there and you'll find, I don't know, a fairly high percentage of people speaking English. Like Germany, France, Spain. They're all speaking English now. You go across.
Not like in Ireland, no.
No, not like I'm not speaking Ireland.
No, I'm just saying, if you go to France or Germany or Spain, the majority of people are speaking their own national language. Majority. They do speak English too.
And as well, Niall too, if I immigrated to, we'll say to France, I'd settle in and that, but I would be told I would have to go to night classes to learn French.
Of course you do. You won't get away with, you know, living in England or living in the English language in France, in Paris or somewhere.
Yeah,
like
you'll have to learn French. It is compulsory to learn it.
Yeah, you'd be like Alva in the Connemara. You'd be sitting there, they'd be all giving you dirty looks. Yeah.
Yeah, no matter what age you are.
Alva, I don't know how you're getting away with it, by the way. I just don't, you know.
You know what? Just this morning, I had a dirty look because I had knocked on the door of a building in the village and a lady came out and she said, oh, what do you want? I said, I'm Alva and I want to speak to this person. And then she shut the door, but she opened the door again a second later and she goes, will you God? As in, do you have Irish? Looked at me up and down. I said, oh, Bioganin. And then she shut the door again. Everyone just wants to know, have you got Irish? Are you a stranger or are you a local? You know,
yeah, are you a blow-in? Are you just a blow-in?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you are. Well, you kind of sound like a blow-in. Do you think there's a bit of snobbery around it, Alva, about the Irish language?
Big time.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah.
Especially around here. Like, I remember years ago when I was young, I used to work in a bar and it was all old Irish men, you know, Shan style old men, like. And they'd be sitting there having their conversation in Irish and they'd be talking about me.
Mm.
And they'd be chatting away saying, Jesus, Matthew, like, where is she from? I wonder where she's from and all this kind of thing. And I'd turn around in Irish and say to them, I'm from over the road and I'm this one's granddaughter or whatever. And their jaws would drop because I don't look like the typical white Connemara woman, you know, so they don't expect me to have the Irish. You know?
Typical white Connemara woman. I've never heard a woman in Connemara described as that before. But I've noticed that somebody was on the radio here with us going back a while ago, and he was an Irish speaker. Now, he spoke perfect English while he was on the air, right? But he was an Irish speaker, and he said he was stopped by the guards. He was speeding. And when the guard pulled him in, he insisted the guard spoke Irish to him. And the guard didn't have any Irish. And nowadays, guards don't have to have Irish. They used to years ago. But the guard didn't have any Irish. So he says, I'm not going to talk to you. You go and get a sergeant or somebody that speaks Irish. So the guards then had to call two more guards in another car to come with someone that spoke Irish just to give him a ticket at the side of the road.
Yeah. But I mean,
that's just being an aegis. You know what I mean?
Just acting a princess because there's a local guard around here and he only speaks Irish and I find it difficult. He will not. I'll talk to him in English and he'll answer me in Irish. So this is how my conversations go all the time. It's very annoying.
Or what about the people, those pretentious people who change their name on Facebook?
Oh, stop. There's a lot of people that have names that actually don't translate in Irish, but they still make it up. They'll make up a word.
Well, I had this argument in school because the teachers used to refer to me as Neil O'Vuillon, right? Oh, and I used to have this argument with them saying, my name is not Neil, it's Niall. You cannot translate it. Neil is a different name altogether. I wasn't christened Neil. It's a completely different name. It's like me calling you Sandra. Do you know what I mean? It's a different name.
Do you know what's funny? I have a daughter. Her name is Ivy. And the first question someone asked me once was, what's the Irish for that? And I said, I don't care what it is because that's not her name.
Mick, what's... Oh, Michal, I suppose. Mick, yeah. You were Michal. Sorry? You were Michal in school, were you?
I could tell you.
It's been that long ago. Maureen, what's Maureen in Irish?
It's Maureen, but it's spelled M-A-I-F-A-D-A-I-R-I-F-A-D-A-N.
Just to be difficult, like. Okay, stay there for a second. I have to go to a break. Stephen, I'm going to come to you straight after the break. I do apologise. I'm running out of time here rapidly. The number's 087-188-0008. Let me go to Stephen. Stephen, hi, how are you?
You are. Tom Megamock.
Tom Megamock. Well, it's a tattoo. So, Stephen, is it time to take away the compulsory aspect of the Irish language?
I think certainly at leaving cert anyway, you can incentivize it in junior cert and, you know, treat it like maths. If you do it, you're going to get a slightly better percentage for your grade.
I think that's unfair, by the way. I think that's really wrong. I think that's unfair.
I know. It might be, and you'd have to figure out a way of balancing it for people that don't take Irish, you know, but...
It's kind of discriminatory that if you do your maths exam in Irish, they give you extra points. It is a bit discriminatory, isn't it?
It would be a little bit, all right, yeah. You know, and the same with doing, if you to do your English exam or your geography exam, but it is a way of incentivizing you to learn it and to be proficient in it. Mm-hmm. But, like, the other way to do it is you take it out of compulsory nature for a leaving cert cycle, and then if people want to learn it, they can learn it in after school, or they can do their Duolingo, or they can chat with their friends, or, you know, go and find grinds and social groups and things like that. But, you know, whatever way you want to do it, you're still not going to be able to force people to do it, even though we force everyone to do English, Irish, maths, geography, some kind of science, a language. PE is now a leaving cert subject. You can do 2 sports in PE as a leaving cert subject, but that's an elective, you know. So we're changing the curriculum all the time. And, you know, as everybody has said, you have to make it a more conversational thing as opposed to just purely focusing on getting you through your exams.
Yeah, but if you got rid of the compulsory...
That's the fundamental flaw with it.
Okay, but if you got rid of any aspect of the compulsory or the compulsory aspect of the language, you know, do you not think it would just die? Eventually, because people just wouldn't, a lot of people won't be bothered.
Well, the last time we spoke about this, as the population increases, there's still always going to be a minority that use it every day, and there's going to be a minority then that would proclaim to use it every other day of the week or have learned it and will put themselves through, 12 years of learning a language that they might use on an occasional basis, you know?
But look at Alva, she's immersed in the middle of it all there, but she still doesn't bother. Mm.
But it sounds like she has good comprehension of the language, but, you know, would only break it out if she's confident enough to use it. And you can correct me if I'm wrong with that, Alva, by the way.
Mm. Yeah, well,
Go on.
Sorry, when we were in secondary school, for example, the only subject that was taught through English was English. You know, so we were doing science through Irish, math through Irish, history, and I found that a lot of the books wasn't the typical Connemara Irish that we would speak. So the spoken Irish that we speak is different to the written Irish. So it didn't really go well for us in our exams, because the words that we've been reading in the history books and geography is, we call it university Irish. It's Irish words that we would never use in our speech, you know? And I also think it's to do with a lot of how things are at home. Like, if your parents don't speak Irish to you at home, you're not going to have a chance.
Mm. Yeah, this is the other side of the things. Like, we've 2 and 3 generations that have grown up not using the language and not finishing school in some cases.
Yeah, what's a car in Irish, by the way, Stephen?
Car. Or Rohiocht.
Rohiocht is a... That's cycling, isn't it?
Yeah.
Rohiocht.
Glushon or car.
See, now, Glushon. There you go, Alva. Glushon, you've heard it again. Alva said she's never heard the word Glushon before.
Only in a book. Only in a book.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hang on for both of you a second. Alan, hi, how are you?
No, how's it going?
Okay. Compulsory, you believe, in primary school only?
Yeah, in primary. Maybe optional in secondary. But I relate to that earlier, Colin. I got ADHD, and I have ADHD, and I struggled with it. Primary and secondary school. Did foundation Irish in for a leaving. We played football, believe it or not, every day. The teacher brought us out. We were all that bad.
To wear out all that energy, yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Medler, shout out to Mr. Edwin. Just couldn't learn it, no, for whatever reason. But I was telling your producer or whatever, I was thinking to go back into it. This was about 15 years after the leaving. And I was working a part-time job. I was working to get a mortgage. I work in the civil service, and I was working in a supermarket part-time. And I was working with foreign nationals, Polish and Romanian. And they all, loyalty halides, one out of 5 languages. and they were all lovely people, but they were coming in. I was there sitting at break one day now, and I said I have to go back and learn some. But that's what prompted me.
Well, because they were kind of sitting there speaking Polish to each other, and you felt like a Gambian sitting.
Yeah, one that had Polish, Russian, Moldovan, they all at least three languages.
Yeah.
It was just incredible, and I was there thinking, like 30, this was 13 years of Irish, and I hadn't a word of it, and I felt like a disgrace, to be honest.
Yeah.
So
it is embarrassing, isn't it, that you go to school in this country for between the age of 4 and 18 years of age, and you come out knowing very little of the language. So there must be something wrong with the way they're teaching it.
Exactly, no, and it was mortifying, to be honest. I felt like, you know, so it's a disgrace, to be honest. I mean, just listening to them, and that's what I went back to the civil service over classes. I kind of got bit disillusioned. I was kind of at sea, to be honest, now at the class, and I kind of got. So I went on. I said I go on Duolingo. Did you ever hear that?
Yeah.
So I'm doing that at the moment.
Yeah, a lot of people are doing the Duolingo. Yeah, and they find it's good. Did you try that, Stephen? The Duolingo.
Yeah, I did, but I was kind of crap at keeping up with it in terms of making it part of my day. Like,
yeah, I might actually try that myself, actually, because I'd like to learn. I'd like to be able to speak, because I can tell that Alva, although she's being very modest here tonight, can probably speak quite good Irish if she made the effort.
You know what? That app that everyone talks about, I'd say that's where you're seeing the word glooshed on, whatever that means.
No, would you stop out of that?
Yeah, because honestly, I've never heard, we say core, like socor, you know, and there's different grammar. If you're going to say in the car, you say socor. If you say outside the car, you're saying tiva mut on core. You know, like,
or get out of the car, esjoch on car.
It's just socor.
Yeah, it's actually esjoch on glushtan, but however, I'll let you away with it.
No, it's...
By the way, if there's
the evolution of the language.
Yeah, by the way, if there's a fluent Irish speaker listening, and I mean fluent, like, you know, you teach it, you know all about it. If Micheál is around, because I know Micheál listens to us every now and again, you know, please just tell us here. I tell you what, most of y'all listening are, you should be all Irish, most of you, so you should be able to speak Irish. Anyway, text or WhatsApp right now. Is it glushtan or car? Who's right here? Me, the non-Irish speaker, or Alva, the one who proclaims to have a lot more Irish than me. Is it glushtan or car? WhatsApp your answer now to 087-188-0008. I'm going to give it my own phone number. That'd be the whole night getting phone calls.
It's car and Duolingo, anyway.
It's car and Duolingo. Yeah, but Duolingo is a modern app.
Yeah,
true. The reason I was saying it to Alva was that it's changed, because I've watched the Nuuk. Do you know you're waiting for 6-1 News to come on and the Nuuk to be on for us? He'd be sitting there kind of watching it bored. And I heard the news reader going, you know, there was he was talking about a broken window in a car, and he said a broken window in a car. And I went, geez, why is he changing the words to English? Because in my day, it was Fin Yog and Glushtan for car and window.
Well, you know what? There was one night we were sitting waiting for the news to come on, because a lot of the news on the Nuuk is actually local to us. So we're watching it, and we listened to the whole thing. And then after it was over, we looked at each other. My husband now, who's born and reared, and every single, like, he's all Irish. And I said, what the fuck did you say? And he said, I haven't a clue. You know?
See, here's the thing. It's embarrassing that I watched Nuuked, and I would get the general gist of what they're talking about. But ask me to repeat it back to you, and I wouldn't be able to. So, but I do get the general gist. And sometimes I'll remember lines. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. I do be messing with my wife, and we do make up Irish sometimes, kind of pretending that we know it, right? What was I saying? Veen may gurum in my Lee roadie.
Stop it.
You'd have a pain in your butt. Sorry, Colin?
Niall, you're after saying you have blue balls.
No, gurum is pain, isn't it?
Gurum, that's blue.
Oh, right.
Gurum is blue, yeah.
Oh, that was another thing in Irish that used to confuse me, right? So if you wanted to say a black man, you had to say far gurum, because you couldn't say far dove, because far dove was the devil.
Yeah.
Well, I think, everyone knows what far dove means.
Mm. Yeah.
So even the far dove knows that he's a far dove, like.
Yeah, but you can't say far dove, because far dove is the devil in Irish, isn't it?
It's a what?
The devil.
No, far is man.
As far as I know, that's what. As far as I know, that's the case. But it could, that could just be an Irish urban legend.
No, see, Alva, I need to teach you some Irish. Far dove in Irish, when I was originally doing Irish in school, was the devil. Was classed. So if you want to talk about the devil, you call the devil far dove.
Oh, no, we say on divil.
Divil, this is not Irish at all. You're saying car, you're saying divil. You're saying, this
it's,
is not,
it's Connemara Irish, like my mamo, my grandmother used to call me a little divil, you know.
Right. Yeah, that sounds more like Irishness rather than the Irish language. Let me, hang on, I just, say there, please, Alan and everybody. I just need to go to John. John, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. How are things?
Good. John, I'm looking at the amount of people texting in here. I think Alva's in trouble because most people are saying Glouston.
Yeah. It's Glouston is car, was car. And they would change the car, obviously, to make it easier for people to learn.
For ticks.
The other thing was, it's to try and, it really is to bring people into the language, Niall. And you have to make it easier before you can, you know, if you want people interested, you have to make it easier. And, you know, I spoke to you before, myself and Maria, we did a little app called Easy Irish, right, and there's phonetics in it, and I got a little write up in the star.com on it, and like I had 4,000 downloads on this app, right, and one little column on the star.com, and there was 15,000 downloads.
Wow!
So that'll tell you how many people are interested in this. Right?
Okay, so plug it again. It's called Easy Irish.
Easy Irish. Yeah. Now it's a work in progress at the moment, right?
Okay. Now, fair play.
I believe it's the way that they teach.
Alva needs it. She'll download it. She needs it badly.
Yeah. But Glouston, right, it was car, right? And now it's not. And also in the Irish language, Niall, there was no H. You know, if you go back in time, there was no H. There was a dot on the word before. So if you had, like, house, chalk, T-E-R-C-H, you had T-E-R-C and a dot over the C.
Oh, I remember that,
Right. So like, it has changed, like, it has evolved a lot and made it a little bit easier. But a couple of things quickly, I won't hold you up. I drive a taxi, and obviously I'm promoting this app regularly, right, because I want to try and get the interest. I can't get the funding because I'm not an Irish speaker and I'm not really taken seriously, is what I believe, right? But I speak to kids all the time in the car when their parents are there, obviously, and from anything from second class right up into doing the junior cert. And I always bring Irish into conversation, right?
Yeah.
And I get to download the app, obviously. One of the things I notice is that, like, they haven't got a clue. Have not got a clue. And, like, I'd say to them, you know, I'd say, dear Grich, Cunas Tarsu, Cunas Tarshiv. No, do you know what that means? And they have to think about it or not. And this is like kids doing their junior cert.
Yeah.
So if they're not learning, if you haven't learned it by then, they're never going to learn it.
Yeah.
You know?
And, as you get older, it's harder to learn it.
Yeah.
I mean, because Alva, you said you were in Connemara when you were 8. So surely at 8 years of age, it was, because at 8 you're like a sponge. It was much easier to learn it then.
But I think, like I said, it's down to the parents. If your parents aren't speaking to you in Irish, especially in an Irish speaking school, like I used to go into school and the teacher used to put me at the back of the room and just let me read whatever book I wanted, Harry Potter or whatever, and they'd continue on in Irish because it was too much effort to get me to learn the Irish, you know?
Yeah. Sorry for cutting across you. If we have, if we can get the kids to, if we can use a little bit of English in the teaching of Irish, I think initially at Niall, okay, you will get them speaking it. And my son is 14. He's not in a girls' school. He's in regular school, and he's in second class. And he informed me yesterday that he's going to do honours Irish in his leaving because the points are better, and he wants it. So he's really interested in Irish. Now it could be a little bit from me, right? But his friend went to a girls' school, and he said the hardest class in Irish was fourth class. And I said, why? And he said, because he taught them grammar. So these kids are doing Irish from the time they walk into school, into girls' schools, but they don't teach them grammar until they're in fourth class. But when you're in a normal school and you go in, when you're in like regular school,
The grammar is part of the language as you're learning it.
Two more quick points, Niall, I just want to make here, right? There's a thing, and I've pointed this out, I've spoken to politicians and everything, ministers and everything about this app, right, about trying to, the method of teaching, right, this method of teaching. But if you look at the science for it, you know, in the toilets, you know, in the street where the dogs have a poo? So it has on it Gland CSA, right? And underneath it has been the poo. But Gland CSA means clean it up. it doesn't mean being the poo. So if you're looking at that, you're going to go, well, you know,
it's
poo,
not funny. Yeah, it's a funny story, but
you go, poo must mean, you know,
and what, by the way, back to your funding, how come, you know, they can spend 335,000 on bike sheds, but they can't give you a few quid for something that's beneficial?
Because I don't think they understand, you know, that you need to speak, you need to use English. I mean, you need to use English, and you need to do it from the start. You need to, when kids start going into school, you need to start and having
have
things
you,
around
have
the world.
Have you tried? You said you tried to get funding. Yeah. And
I've tried everybody, but you see, because I work as well, like, I don't have the resources, I don't have the time, but I know what to do. I just don't have the backing.
No, you need some sort of backing, so you have the time to take off that you can actually focus on doing the app.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Alva, is it?
Alva, yeah.
Yeah.
Alva, yeah. To be honest with you, right, the grants that you're looking for, it takes you like 8 months to get it, and I'm not knocking it, right, but it's 8 months to get my probably €700, right? At Christmas last year, I spent €3,500 on the development, parts of the development of this app, you know, like in my own pocket, just to keep it going, just try and keep it going, because to keep it on the app stores, you have to keep updating it. And
I wonder, have you tried going through to any, you know, any local TDs that are big into Irish speaking?
I've spoken to lots of people.
Did you speak to Padraig Tobin from Aintu?
No. No, I didn't.
Okay, let me do that tomorrow. Let me do that tomorrow for you, right? Yeah. I'll talk to Petter.
That's the right person.
Can I just say something to you, Niall? I was talking to a girl, a friend of mine, she's a teacher in a school, because I bring kids to school in the mornings, and she's in a school I used to be in. I was talking to her today about this, and she's going to talk to someone, he's from Connemara, and she's going to try and plug this a little bit for me to get me to go into a couple of classrooms just to try out this method and see what it works, and just listen. And I even got in the app, Noel. I even have a button to take the English off if it makes them feel better, you know?
Yeah.
If you see the app yourself, and on the top, you just knock off the two buttons. And I kept the app free because I want it free because it's the Irish language. I want people to download it, you know?
Okay, I tell you what, I have to go into a break. Stephen, Alva and Alan, thank you very much. John, I'll talk to you further about this, right? And I'll have a chat with Padraig Tobin. I think you should be getting funding for it, because if it's to do with the Irish language, they spend $1.2 billion on other stuff every year. So what we'll do, John, is I'll catch up with you again in relation to it. The app, by the way, is called Easy Irish App, is it?
It's just Easy Irish.
So if you go on the App Store or the Google Play Store, you get it on both, yeah?
Yeah, that's correct.
All right, Easy Irish. Okay, so if anyone wants to learn Irish, there's a good way of doing it. It's called Easy Irish. Just go on to the App Store or go on to the Google Play Store. And I don't see why he shouldn't be getting funding. If they can, as I said, if they can spend 335,000 on a bike shed, I can't understand how they can't give John a few quid to help him with the app. Because apps are expensive to develop. You know, a good app nowadays costs you 40 or 50,000 euro, particularly on the Apple side of things, because obviously they're quite strict about what they allow you put on the Apple Store. Anyway, after the break, by the way, I'm going to be talking about Irish begrudgery. Do you think the Irish are kind of racist against themselves? Do we begrudge each other kind of goodwill and success? Are we really that, you know, I know it's kind of begrudgery, but we kind of hate each other. You know, we get like, I do it as well. We give out about the Rose of Tralee. We give out about people who are successful. We wish badness on each other. You know that whole thing when an Irish person goes on holidays and they ring you and they go, oh, yeah, I'm over here in Spain at the moment. Oh, yeah, I hope it rains.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.